Number one, you have to accept your differences. You have to accept your differences. You know, it's funny because a lot of teenagers are like, I just don't want to be the same, man. I want to be my own person. I want to just live by my own rules. And then when you go to the mall and you look at teenagers, everybody looks the same. See, the truth of the matter is we're not trying to be different. We're all trying to fit in. And Joseph didn't fit in. He didn't fit in with his brothers. They were wicked and evil, and Joseph walked with God and had a good relationship with his dad. He didn't fit in Egypt when everybody else was living in sin and doing their own thing. Joseph was busy at his job. He was busy at his work. Joseph was different than everybody else. He accepted his differences. In fact, he wore a different coat than his brothers wore. His dad gave him a different coat, a coat of royalty, a coat of nobility, and Joseph wore it. He was different. Joseph had a wonderful relationship with his father. He had a birthright that his dad gave him. Listen to me very carefully. When you got saved, how many of you are saved this morning? Raise your hand if you're saved. When you got saved, God became your heavenly father. And by the way, he gave you a robe of righteousness. He gave you the robes of Jesus Christ. He gave you the robe of nobility. He gave you the robe of the birthright. You can now walk into the very presence of God and say, our Father which art in heaven, Heavenly Father, I want to talk to you today. God became your Father when you got saved, but as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Behold, now are we the sons of God. You're a child of God today. And yet too many Christian teenagers will not accept the fact that you're different. Look at me right now. If you're saved, you're different than the world. They have a God who is their creator and their judge. You have a God who is your loving heavenly Father. You are different from the world. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. You're different than the world. There's got to be a generation of young people that will accept the fact that I'm different. I am a twice-born person living in a once-born world. What I have in my life came from a different source than what the world has. The world has their pleasures from their sin. The world has their pleasures from this world. They seek happiness and wealth for themselves. I have something that came from God. I have a new life. I am twice-born once-born world. I'm different than the world. You'll never practice the presence of God. You'll never know God personally like you should. You'll never be able to say, it'll never be able to be said of you that God was with him unless you accept the fact that you're different from the world. What we have as Christians starts from a different course or source, and it goes a different course, and it ends at a different conclusion. Think about the world. Why are we wanting to be like the world when the world is marching on its way to hell? If you're saved this morning, where are you going when you die? Where are you going when you die? Where are you going when you die? Okay. You're on your way to heaven. Where's the world on its way to? Do you believe that? Then why are we going to be intimidated by a world? Listen to me. Why are we intimidated by an evolutionary, secular, humanistic, atheistic world? Listen to me. This world cannot tell you where you came from. It cannot tell you why you're here. And it cannot tell you where you're going. Those of us that are saved, we know where we came from, we know why we're here, and we know where we're going. We're different from the world, so live like it. The greatest day of my life was the day that I realized that I was different from this world, and it was okay to live different from the world. It was okay to have some standards in my life, have some separation from the world in my life, to live with a different purpose, because I knew where I came from, I knew why I was here, and I know where I'm going. We're different. Number two. Not only did Joseph accept his differences, but Joseph accepted his dreams. He accepted his dreams. God gave Joseph a dream. And the dream that God gave Joseph is that one of these days, Joseph, I'm going to put you in a position where your brothers are going to bow down and make obeisance to you. God did not give Joseph a roadmap of his life. He didn't lay it all the way out. He didn't tell him exactly how he's going to get there. He said, this is what I'm going to do with you, Joseph. I'm going to raise you to a place where you're going to salvage your brothers, but I'm not going to tell you exactly how you're going to get there. You're just going to have to follow me step by step by step by step. If Joseph would have known the roadmap, he may not have gone down that road. If he knew that the road had a pit and a prison and Potiphar's house, he may not have gone down that road. But let me tell you something. When he got to the end of it, I'll guarantee you that Joseph was thankful. He looked at his brothers and he said to his brothers in his old age, he said, don't be angry, for God did send me before you to preserve life. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. God had a greater plan in my life than you did. He accepted the dreams that God gave him. You see, it'll be a wonderful day in your life when you realize that you are His workmanship. You were created in Christ Jesus under good works. That God made you for a purpose and that God made you for His glory. Listen to me. Let me ask you a question. How do you find that? How do you find the dream that God has for your life? How do you find that? You don't find it. It finds you. How does it find you? God gave us the plan. Watch this very carefully. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How does a person ever come to the place where they can live out the will of God for their life? They first learn to present themselves as a sacrifice to God. Let me give you the secret for you finding the dream that God has for your life. Are you ready? It comes in, it's in three steps. Number one, it's presentation. You present yourself to God. Have you ever fully surrendered and just said, Lord, I put everything on the altar. I present my body a living sacrifice. I am all yours. What you tell me to do, I will do. Where you tell me to go, I will go. You are the Lord and the master of my life. I let you be on the throne of my heart. You are my king. You are my commander. You are my confidant. You are the one that's going to lead and guide my life. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When you present your body, listen to me, when you present your body, something amazing happens. When you go to God and you say to God, I am all yours. You can have me. Something amazing happens. Presentation becomes transformation. What you give to God, God transforms. A little boy one day gave to Jesus his little lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And when he presented it to Jesus, Jesus transformed it into enough food to feed the multitude. And that boy could take 12 baskets back home to mom. What he presented, God transformed. When those men filled up the water pots with water, Jesus transformed them into wine. What is presented to him, he transforms it. And the minute you go to God and say, take my life, this is what I want for my life. Lord, I want these 5 loaves and I want these 2 fishes. I want to play football. I want to do this. I want to make money. I want to do this and go here and be this. I want to marry this. I want to live there. I want to make this money. And when you give that all to God, here's my life, then God takes that from you. He transforms it and he hands it back to you in something that proves his perfect will of God. Presentation plus transformation equals realization of God's plan. Let's say this together. Ready? Presentation plus transformation equals realization of God's will. Are you ready? Let's say that again. Presentation plus transformation equals realization of God's will. You see, some of you are looking at yourself right now like, I don't see how God could use me. There's nothing good in me. I mean, there's no way I could do that. There's no way that I could, there's no way that God could use me to do anything great. I'm just not me. Listen to me. It's because you haven't been transformed. And you haven't been transformed because you've never gone to God and said, you can have all of me. I'm going to give you what I am, and then you make me what you want me to be. And when I present me and you transform me, then I will realize what you had for me to do. By the way, you better be very, 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 very careful that the dreams that you are following are the dreams that God gave you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and verse number 8, he told them by the prophet Jeremiah, listen, neither hearken to the dreams which ye have caused to be dreamed. Joseph was not following his dreams. He was following the dream that God gave him. This is the crazy thing. God has dreamed dreams for your life. And what God has dreamed for you, you could never dream for yourself. Can you imagine getting everything that God has dreamed for you? I mean, think about this. Jesus said this when we got saved. He said, I go to heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And whether I go, you go. And he said, and then I'm going to come and get you that you can be with me. He said, where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. And the Bible says of that place that he prepared for us, that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Listen to me. You cannot over-imagine heaven. You cannot imagine what God has made for you. You've never seen it. You've never heard it. You've never seen the things that God is going to make for you. You've never been able to get your eyes or your ears on the sounds that God is going to have for you like he has in heaven. It is amazing what God has prepared for you in heaven. Now, here's the great thing. A God that can make a heaven like that for you can take your life and dream dreams that you could never dream for yourself. How did Joseph realize this? Joseph realized it because Joseph accepted his differences. He was different from the world. He was not going to go the evil way. He was not going to get in sin with Potiphar's wife. He was not going to live like the heathen live. He was different. He was marked. He was God's man. He belonged to him at 17 years old, and the Lord was with him. And he decided, I'm going to live like that. I'm going to be different. And he decided that he was going to follow the dreams that God had for him. Don't you think that when Joseph was in that prison, and he was forgotten all by himself, and the butler and the baker, they forgot him, and he was down there for those 2 years with nobody knowing he was there, don't you think that Joseph ever looked up to heaven and said, God, where are you? I thought I was going to be a king. I thought you were going to raise me up. Why am I in a dungeon? Why am I in these chains of iron? Why am I here in this pit, in this prison? And God said, because I am making you. I'm transforming you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. God gives you a little bit of light to walk in, and Joseph stepped into it at 17. And God gave a little bit more light, and Joseph walked into it. And eventually God brought him out of the dungeon, and he stepped forward into palace of Pharaoh. And God gave him a little bit more light, and he took the throne with Pharaoh. And he began to grow the corn in Egypt for 7 years and store it up. And little by little, God was showing him more and more his fulfillment of his dream, until Joseph at the end of his life looked back at what God did and said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God had dreams for me that you could not destroy. God did great things. Listen to me. You will never see today what God has for you 5 years from now, but if you'll take every little step in the light, God will bring you to it. Tonight when we leave Six Flags, it might be, I don't know what time we're leaving, but it might be dark. When you're going home tonight, it might be dark. When you get in the car, you turn the headlights on. Do you know that your headlights don't shine all the way to your house? Your headlights just shine right out there a little bit, and you drive to what you can see, and they shine a little further, and you drive to what you can see, and they shine a little further, and eventually shine on the house. And God has given us a Bible. God has given us a plan, and his word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as we read the Bible, we just take little step by little step and little step by little step. And as God teaches us, we present. And as God teaches us, we present. And what we don't realize is the more we present, the more God transforms. And the more God transforms, eventually we begin to realize what God has for us. And you turn around at 42 and you think, how in the world did I go from a junior high kid that didn't even know how to tie my own shoes? How did I go from that in just a few years? I turn around and I've been married for 20 years. I have 3 wonderful girls. I get to pastor a church and preach to teenagers all over. Thank God that little by little by little by little, there were some steps of obedience, and God has prepared me for this plan. By the way, you're no different. God can do it with you, but you got to accept the fact that you're different than the world. You have to accept God's dreams. And let me give you the last thing, and this is the hardest thing, and this is where most of us stop. Right now, what I'm going to give you is why some of you will never find out God's will for your life, because you won't do this. You want the other ones. You want to have a different life than what the world has. You want to have the dreams that God has for you, but you don't want to deal with this. Not only did Joseph accept his differences and Joseph accept his dreams, but watch this very carefully. Joseph accepted his difficulties. Do you know that there's not one of you in this room who has a family like Joseph's family? I hear people all the time, just teenagers just want to get bitter and angry and discouraged because your parents got divorced. And that's a horrible thing to go through. And that's why some of you better determine right now that you're going to deal with God and you're going to let God have your life so that your kids never have to go through that. That you're going to marry in the will of God, they don't have to go through that. But let me tell you something. Joseph's dad had four wives at the same time. They all lived together. Joseph's brothers were brothers from other mothers. Literally. They were his brothers from other mothers. Joseph's dad was a cheater, a liar, a thief, a deceiver. Everywhere that Jacob went, he was getting in trouble, and the family was always on the run. Joseph had to move from place to 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 place because his dad was a thief and a liar. His dad had four wives. He had a mom and three stepmoms all living in the same house. He had stepbrothers and a half-sister and all this other kind of, I mean, just his life was a mess. He was hated by his brothers. They rejected him. I had two older brothers. They're 10 and 7 years older than me. When I was little, they did all kinds of stuff to me. The worst thing I think they ever did to me one time, and I mean, this freaked me out and changed my life forever. We were staying at my grandpa's house in Montana, and my grandpa had a sofa from like 1952 that was a hide-a-bed when hide-a-beds first came out. And we had to sleep on that thing. And I had a mattress like that thick with all the dust in the earth from 1952 to 1990. When you open that thing, it was like, it was like a witch being boiled in oil. I was already scared of that bed anyway. My brothers had an idea they were going to lay me on that and fold me up in it. Like, hey, do you think we can get Dean in the thing there? Lay down. And they were like, here, we're going to fold you up real quick, but just scream when you want to get out. I'm like, okay. They're like, and you know how that thing like, and locks in? Well, when it locks in, man, it's like, I'm in there like. So I'm trying to scream, but it's like. My grandma and grandpa are sitting on the couch, man. I'm in there like. My grandpa's like, Estelita. Oh, Leo, that wasn't me. Meanwhile, I'm in there like. My grandpa's like, why is this thing squeaking like that? Like, literally, I almost suffocated in that thing. I was nearing death before my grandpa found me. But my brothers never threw me in a pit and sold me to the Ishmaelites. Joseph had a broken home. Brothers from other mothers, rejected by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold as a slave. He was tempted every day by Potiphar's wife. Not just once, but the Bible says, and daily she tempted him. Listen to me. You're going to be tempted with sin every day. There's never going to be a day of your life when there's no temptation. There's always going to be temptation. Life is hard. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was thrown in prison. He was forgotten by the butler. And Joseph was enduring in Egypt. He was down there in the pit. He was in idolatry, in an idolatrous nation. He was in a pagan religion in this nation. He was in a God-forsaken land, all by himself, forgotten, rejected from a massively messed up home. And yet, the Bible says of him, the Lord was with him. You can be angry today that you came from a divorced home. You can be bitter the fact that your dad has abandoned your family or whatever the situation is. I don't know what your situation is, but God knows. But you can be bitter about the things in your life that are hard and difficult. And you could say, I wish I had somebody else's life. Or you can do what Joseph did. And Joseph made a beeline to the Lord. And he stayed close to the Lord so that God could use him. He accepted his difficulties. I wished I had time to go into this, but I don't. But I didn't read chapter 38 for a reason, but chapter 38 was the life story of Judah, his brother that sold him. It is the craziest chapter. Like, I was reading it one day, like, I don't even know why it's here. Until I realized that the Bible said in chapter 38, and at that time, meaning that at the same time that Joseph was being sold to Potiphar, Judah was going down to the Adullamites and going to live in sin. And Judah went down and got him a girl and began to have kids, and he was living it up down there in sin and wickedness and all kinds of vile things. And while Judah was living in sin, Joseph was in prison, rejected. While Judah was down having a good time, doing whatever he wanted, partying, living it up, Joseph was in prison. But in the end of the story, there was a famine. And Judah had to come and kneel before Joseph and make things right and repent. And he had two little boys with him. Listen very carefully. He had two little boys, Judah did, that were born down in Canaan when Judah went in to a harlot that turned out to be his own daughter-in-law. By the way, sin will always take you further than what you think it'll take you. And now he's got two little boys. Judah's got two little boys, Perez and Zerah, that are born of a wicked relationship, of a life of a daddy who lived in sin and did whatever he wanted, while his brother that he sold in slavery was in a prison. And he comes with his little boys, Perez and Zerah, and Joseph brings them into Egypt, and he lets them live and feed and grow their family. And the rest of the story wouldn't be told for nearly 4,000 years. Several thousand years later, the Bible says this, and the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Judah, the wicked brother living in sin, and his two little boys who were born of an illegitimate, wicked relationship, were in the line of Christ. You never see Joseph's name. But it would have never happened had Joseph not walked in the presence of God for the saving of his family. You may be the teenager that's living for God in your youth group while others leave church and go out and party and post it on Facebook and they're having their blast out in their sin. You may be the one that's living for God. You may be the one that's different from everybody else. You may have some burdens and heartaches, and there may be some burdens and tears. There may be some times of difficulties in your life, but you listen to me. You stay faithful, and you keep following the plan that God has, and day by day by day by day by day, you follow the dream that God has for you, and day by day you get through it, and you get up and you fight temptation, and you live for God, and you walk with Him, and you practice His presence, and let God live with you and abide on you, and one of these days you'll turn around and there'll be lives behind you that God salvaged because you were faithful. You can practice the presence of God in a godless world. But you got to accept that you're different. You got to follow God's dreams. You have to endure your difficulties.